Here on this Memorial Sunday, we continue our series, our sermon series on forgiveness. There are so many feelings when someone passes away. Pain, anger, depression, sadness, apathy, yearning, denial, emptiness, resentment, guilt, regret. Oops. You can see from this slide that grief is a tangled ball of emotions. So many feelings pulling you in so many ways. Not that there's any prescription to this. There aren't any emotions that you must have. Each of us feels the emotions that we feel. Any of these and many more are possible. None of them are present for every person in every grief. None of them are wrong. They're the feelings that we have. And into that complicated tangle of feelings, we want to talk about forgiveness. We want to introduce that element of forgiveness. Forgiveness when someone dies. Forgiveness of a person who's no longer with us. Forgiveness of ourselves when we can no longer ask for forgiveness. This need for forgiveness can complicate grief and can be so important in moving towards healing. But forgiveness can also be complicated, but it can be complicated. It can be made more difficult when the person is no longer present. How do we forgive someone who has passed? There are times when forgiveness and even reconciliation are part of the dying process. Often people who are dying want to forgive or reconcile before they die. They want to see their estranged daughter or have a reconciling conversation with their spouse or parent or even church. I knew a woman named Donabelle. Donabelle was a patient at the Goshen Hospital when I was a chaplain intern there, and she wanted to talk about her anger. She wanted to talk about her anger with the church. Donabelle was dying of lung and heart issues when I met her, and she was a remarkable woman, a woman of immense faith, who I visited a number of times. And she shared deeply with me about a number of things, including her pain and her anger at the church. In her younger years, she'd been in a terrible marriage with an unsupportive and destructive husband. And when he had abruptly left her, the church she was part of had been condemning of her, rather than supportive of her through the pain of that. As a result, she left the church despite a strong faith, and she hadn't been in a church in over 30 years when I met her. In all those years, she continued to carry her anger at the church. And in those days of her dying, she was able to share all of this with me, a representative of the church. And I believe that in our relationship, in our conversations, she was able to reach a level of forgiveness as she shared the stories and as she shared the pain of that. She died shortly after in hospice care with a chaplain at her side, a Christian chaplain at her side. Sometimes forgiveness can be part of the dying process. But what about when it's not? What about when someone dies who you're still angry at? What about when someone dies when they've hurt you and it isn't resolved? What about when you feel guilt about the bad relationship you had with someone, someone you can't reconcile with any longer? Our tangled ball of emotions includes guilt and anger and even rage. And sometimes that anger is directed at God. Sometimes it's directed at the one who's passed. Sometimes it's directed at ourselves. Our scripture for today from Ephesians says to put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander together with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Can we do this? Can we forgive someone when the person has died? Desmond Tutu tells the story of a time when his father said he wanted to talk. This was the end of a 10-hour car drive, and his dad wanted to talk with him. Desmond was exhausted and said, "Let's talk in the morning. I can't have a conversation now. Let's talk in the morning." And the next morning, he was awakened with the news that his father had passed away during the night. Desmond was filled with grief because he'd loved his father, even though his father had a bad temper and had done a number of horrible things. And he was also filled with guilt. With his sudden death, Desmond would never be able to hear what his father had wanted to say. Might he have wanted to apologize for the abuse he'd inflicted on Desmond's mother when Desmond was a child? He would never know. He felt the guilt at not allowing that final conversation. He felt the need for self-forgiveness. At the same time, as he reflected back on his father's drunken tirades, Desmond realized that while he still carried anger at his father, he was also angry with himself, angry that he hadn't been able to stand up to his father or protect his mother. He realized he still needed to forgive his father, and he also needed to forgive himself. In the midst of his grief, and very connected to his grief, he also needed to work towards forgiveness. The last two Sundays, we've talked about elements of the forgiveness journey. Tell the story. Face the injustice. Accept the reality. Name to ourselves and to others the pain we've experienced. Try to understand the person and pray for them and for ourselves. Choose to forgive. Cut the chain. Renew or release the relationship. These are elements of the forgiveness journey. And perhaps these same elements can be part of forgiveness even when the person has passed on. Even, perhaps, when we need to forgive ourselves. Last January, I was at a Mennonite Church Eastern Canada event called #Church2. We were learning about abuse in the church and about boundary questions and places where the church can do better than we have in the past. I think there's a lot of repentance that's needed here. But one of the things that stood out for me in this event, at this gathering, was a story about forgiveness. And this is a story about a woman who had been abused by her uncle as a child. For years, she had kept this quiet. She hadn't told anyone, even her family. The damage that he had done to her life was immense. As a result, she was in counseling, trying to work her way towards health. And somewhere in that process, she realized that for her to heal, she needed to somehow forgive her uncle. Not an easy thing. But then it became even more difficult. Her uncle died, and she was left with this question. I need forgiveness to move towards healing, but how do I forgive him? And how do I forgive him when he's no longer alive? This story of abuse is something that she had never shared with her family. Her parents didn't know about it. They didn't yet know about this destructive abuse from within their family. And this woman decided that to come to some sort of forgiveness, she needed to tell that story and to name that pain. She couldn't tell it to her uncle. She couldn't name that to her uncle. And so she decided that she needed to tell her family that. She wrote a letter to her father, telling him what had happened and telling him for the first time that his dead brother had been abusive. She didn't know what to expect from him. How would he react to this? How would he react to the news that his brother had abused his daughter? She knew that she was dropping a bombshell, but she needed to do it. Shortly after he received the letter, he came over to talk. His first words were an authentic apology. He told her he was sorry. He was sorry that he hadn't recognized her pain. He was sorry that he had not realized that his daughter was going through this, and that he had not stopped it. He offered to pay for any counseling she needed and to support her in any way that he could. And she found, in writing that letter, in telling the story, naming the injustice, naming her pain to her father, and in hearing her father's real repentance, that she was able to forgive not only her father, but her uncle as well. This woman was able to receive an apology and validation, even if it wasn't from her uncle. Most often, the apology isn't possible when someone has passed. And all those complicated feelings of guilt and unresolved anger linked with grief can make the forgiveness journey even more difficult than it normally is. The need to forgive yourself as well, that Desmond Tutu talks about, and that can so often be part of grief, complicates it even more. It's not an easy journey. It's not quick. There's a lot that needs to be worked through and resolved, and that's true for grief without all those feelings, and it's also very much complicated by needing forgiveness or repentance. There's a lot that needs to be released. And yet those elements of forgiveness that we've talked about, I think, come into play even when we need to forgive someone who has died, even when we need to forgive ourselves. Tell the story. Face the injustice, whatever it is. Accept the reality, accept that this, whatever it is, has happened. Feel the pain and name it. Try to understand the person and pray for them and for ourselves. Choose to forgive. Cut the chain. Renew or release the relationship. I think one of the additional challenges in forgiving those who have died is that we're often reluctant to truth tell bad things about people who have passed. You may have been at a funeral where we hear all kinds of wonderful things about a person while neglecting some of the places that perhaps they haven't treated people well, perhaps haven't treated their family well. Maybe everyone in the place knows it, but it doesn't get named. Or we're conflicted with the one who has died, but we feel bad about it, maybe guilty for our part in the conflict, or guilty that we still feel angry at someone who's died. We don't want to speak badly about the deceased. They can't defend themselves. Maybe we shouldn't carry this anymore. And yet telling the truth, telling that story, telling the injustice, the pain caused, is so much part of the forgiveness journey. And so don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating airing of all the dirty laundry at a funeral, but I think finding a trusted person to tell the story to name the pain to process the conflict or the abuse or the wrong to, I think this is important, essential even to move towards forgiveness and healing. Forgiveness of ourselves, forgiveness of the one who has died. It's hard, hard work. It takes time. I do believe it is possible. We have spent 5 weeks, 5 Sundays, talking about forgiveness. And some people have told us we're just scratching the surface. And I think that's true. But we are closing the series today, and I want to close by saying that God walks with us in our need for forgiveness and in our need to forgive others. God longs for our healing from the pain we carry and desires to carry us through the grief that we hold. And so I want to leave you, I want to close this series with a blessing from Jeremiah 29, the words that we heard already once. So God is speaking, "For surely I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm. To give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord." May we each experience the loving arms of God surrounding us this day and every day. Amen.